This episode is brought to you by Shopify. With Shopify, 2026 is the year you make it happen. It gives you the tools to build your dream store, online and in person. Plus, with marketing built in, it'll help you reach exactly who you need to. Join the millions who've already made the leap, like Gymshark and Allbirds. And ring in the new year with Shopify. Sign up for your £1 per month trial at shopify.co.uk/Spotify.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Podcast. We're a bunch of good time pals, yucking it up, busting chops, and playing actual play podcasts of your favorite tabletop role playing games. We're making them. We're not just
playing.
We're
not playing actual play podcasts.
I don't know what the proper verb is. That's not it, though.
No, it's definitely not playing.
We are playing, but we're making the podcast.
Creating
is fun, too.
Yeah.
So we're not playing. We're not having fun, is what Joe was trying to say.
That's not what I was saying. It's a lot of fun.
But if you're having fun, here's what I want you to do. I want you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're watching this right now, just go like this. Boop, boop. And you subscribe. It's free. It doesn't cost any money. Do that. And then if you're just listening to the podcast, leave a review, a little download on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's huge. Even if you subscribe and get the ad-free version, give us that sweet little download and review. It really helps. Follow us on Instagram at The Glass Cannon. And the fourth and most important one is check out our subscription service at jointhenation.com. We are recording this in the past, but you in the future might already be experiencing a very exciting update to our subscription service. So I wish I knew for sure so I could tell you more, but I can't. In the meantime, what are you having for lunch today?
Oh, I hadn't even thought about it. I wasn't expecting that question.
What did you think I was going to ask?
I don't know what you were going to ask. I wasn't expecting you to talk to me. I was going to ask you something.
Oh, okay. Is it lunch related?
And then I forgot immediately. When you pointed at me and said, what are you having for lunch? It went out of my head. It was something about what you just said.
Something about podcasts.
Oh, no. I was going to say your open was so sloppy. I feel like we need to do actual theater warm-ups before episodes.
We need to
stretch our lips.
The tip
and
of the
our
tongue.
Tongues.
Red, leather, yellow.
I know. I used to like it in high school. When we first started doing it. I was like, this is so weird. And then you started to think it's normal. And then when you look back again, you're like, that's insane.
Oh, my God. I mean, I had a whole process every time before I took the stage. It was different for stand-up. Stand-up, I would just run through my bits over and over again. But like for theater, I mean, I had this whole warm-up that I had to be alone for 45 minutes.
And, I'm not surprised.
You sound like a joy to be with.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it really helped me get in the zone. But then other times, I remember just showing up to the theater late and be like, fuck, I didn't do it. And then having a killer performance and be like, do I really need to be doing this?
I know.
This?
Right, exactly.
We're such different performers. So different. I come into auditions, I'm like spilling my coffee on the script that I have not memorized.
Yeah. And I'm like, what is this for again?
Sorry, I'm late. Hi.
And you don't show up to the first rehearsal with your script memorized?
She said audition.
Okay.
If you show up to the first rehearsal with script memorized for any of my plays, I would be like, no.
Yeah, I wouldn't show up.
You're constantly rewriting it?
Yeah, and also we have to figure
it's very unprofessional to not have it.
No, I need the blocking. I need the blocking.
That's how you speak. Well, if you're doing Shakespeare, I'm not expecting a change. If I'm doing a Matthew Capocasa joint, then now I know.
Yeah, well, now we know. If you're going out for Matthew's stuff.
They need lots of rewrites.
Now we know.
I know an actor
who... It's a work in progress.
I knew an actor, he was late. He was running late one day. didn't get to do his warm. He's like, okay, I got to figure out something to do to get me warmed up. So he was like a
get my hand
Broadway house. He ran, yeah, that would have been nice.
Can you get me warmed up?
That would have been nice.
Warmed up.
He ran the seats of the theater. So he went downstairs. Oh, fine.
Went to and then he was
like,
stud.
And he was like, great, new warm up. Cause he was like, he had a great show. He felt great. And then he started doing shows at the Muni, which are 10,000 seat theaters. Oh. And then he was like, he's superstitious about it. So now he's like, I guess I gotta run.
He gets there 3 hours early.
To run the seats in the middle of the summer and then go and then, then take a shower and then go into the show.
Well, you make fun of warm-ups, but you guys do push-ups backstage before every live show. Is it just to make your pecs look juicier? Yeah. Like to get that pump? Is it to wake you up?
Pump.
Are you hoping people are like, look at the fucking set on caps tonight?
Number
Is that
one.
What you're hoping for?
Number one, obviously.
What a silly question.
Number two, I'm not making fun of warm-ups.
Okay. All
right, and also, we do the push-ups backstage because of competition. And I have yet to ever beat Matthew or Kate. So I do it just to shame myself continually because I'm the worst at them.
I've seen these push-ups. None of them count as push-ups.
I had a literal former Navy intelligence officer who was embedded with SEALs tell me I had perfect form.
Oh, okay. Well, then far be it from me.
Wow.
Were you a Navy SEAL?
He might not have been talking about your push-ups.
Well,
talking about
perfect form.
Sweet ass.
Well, that's fine too.
Either perfect way. Pecs. I was doing a warm-up, a group warm-up, in college for a guest director. And there was a chair in the middle of a circle of like 30 actors. And so call people up and say, describe the chair. What do you see? And it's like, it's black. It has metal legs. And he's talking about, he's coming around to me and he was just like, taste the chair. He literally said, it's like, if he was like, they say, oh, well, I imagine it tastes like licorice. And so I was like, no, taste the chair. And so I walked up and I licked the chair.
I'm chewing on the chair.
And he was like, so what does the chair taste like? And I said, it's funny. It tastes a little like chicken. And I did not get cast in his show.
Wow.
Oh.
That's a good bit.
That was a fun bit.
That's a good bit.
I thought it was pretty funny.
And at the time, that probably wasn't hack. Like, that was probably one of the first times someone ever
said. Oh, this is the early 50s. So,
so the everything tastes like chicken joke hadn't been made.
It had, like, three or four times.
I think I was the first one. I think I pioneered it.
So. Wow.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you do anything before a show?
To warm up?
When you're on the train or drive, you don't drive in anymore. Do you sit there and be like,
yeah,
getting in the zone?
That's the thing. It's like I train in now rather than drive in because of stress. And so I do lose some of that opportunity.
Yeah.
I do miss that. Like in the car, like running lines or talking in character or, you know, singing music even just to get your throat loosened up and get pumped up.
I do find, and maybe it's just getting older, like I do have to warm my voice up. I never had to warm my voice up. I used to sing and just like scream and do whatever. And now we record so often, voiceover work, acting, like all the other things I do, I will lose my voice if I don't really properly like wake it up in the morning. If I just go like full in on a recording day or live show or something, especially with like our VIP meet and greets, I'll like fully lose my voice.
Yeah.
So I find now it's not like the mentalness of it. It's literally like do some vocal, like do some, you know, the stupid shit, but it works.
So Bob Odenkirk,
I really should do it.
He tore one of his vocal cords and his voice was messed up for like
a couple of years.
Yeah.
That's a fear of mine.
I find as long as you talk, that's enough warm up for me. And a lot of my warm up is like, hey, leave your brother alone. Stop. Doesn't mean you have to hit him. Those are my warm ups.
You really reach into your full vocal range.
Right. Yeah. Ready to record.
That's why you come in so ready.
And I'm emotionally ready too.
Oh man. I should have kids. I'd be a better performer.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this quick break. Get ready for some Shadow Dak.
Hey, what's up, Nash? Quick break here to thank one of our sponsors for this week's episode. The Huckleberry RPG is back to keep sponsoring us. So excited to be sponsored by such a cool product. Another RPG out there in the space that I'd love to play if I had some time to get in to play it. But for you guys, if you're looking for something new, something to shake up your game night with your friends, your good buddies, how about checking out the Huckleberry RPG, which is a Weird West RPG. If you're looking for something Western, something where you can play an iconic, tough as nails sort of hero in a Western landscape, but one that's touched with a bit of the supernatural called the weird. There's all kinds of different monsters and strange energies that twist the environment, making a the rough life on the frontier, just a little bit rougher for our heroes. But the thing is, your hero is yours to build, completely customized. It is, there aren't like classes per se. There's just ways that you can build your character in the way that you want your character, called a maverick, is the way that you take it in there. And it can be any kind of a range of personality and abilities. Also, speaking of personality, the mechanics, the rules, all that stuff is very bespoke and flexible and takes a backseat to narrative. It's a really a narrative focused game where you can learn the rules in about 20 minutes and just start playing, especially if you get the, what's it called? The quick draw edition. So I urge you to support those that support us. Go and check out the Huckleberry RPG. Go to www.huckleberryrpg.com/pre-order. I can't believe I said www, but you know what I mean. huckleberryrpg.com/pre-order and use code GCP5 to get $5 off. Go support them. Thank them for supporting us and have a good time with your friends playing a little Weird West RPG action. HuckleberryRPG.com. Use code GCP for $5 off.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Looking for a more affordable way to own in 2026? With shared ownership at Latimer Homes, you can reserve your new home for just £26 before the 26th January. Lower upfront costs, modern, stylish homes, and a clearer path onto the property ladder, making it easier than ever to step into home ownership. Find out more at latimerhomes.com. T's and C's apply.
New year, new groove, new you, new brew. Craving a little something to fill your cup? Pistachio flavors are back at Starbucks. Rich, nutty, creamy, and handcrafted to your taste. Rewrite your ritual with our new iced pistachio matcha latte. Rediscover our iconic pistachio velvet oat latte. We're serving pistachio flavor sips to brighten winter days. Start your next chapter with pistachio. Pouring now at Starbucks. Subject to availability while stocks last.
Welcome back. I want to thank our sponsors for our Shadow Dog campaign. I jump right in and make them nervous.
It scares me every time.
Our sponsors. Where are my notes? Where are my notes? Norse Foundry for all your random number generating needs. That's a natty 12 and a D20.
Ooh, natty 18.
Natty 20.
Oh, Sydney.
Fuck. Sydney wins.
I mentioned last week, New Year, New Dice. They do this promo every year, but I forgot to mention that you do have to put a code in. It's called New Year, New Dice.
Oh.
So if you put that in at checkout, you get 15% off your order.
Well, hopefully that was in the description notes.
It was in the description notes, but New Year, New Dice, all together, all small.
I want to throw this 15% bag off. You.
Oh. What the fuck, Troy?
For the listening audience, Troy crumpled up a paper bag and chucked it right at Joe's forehead.
Trash in his face.
Are you okay?
I think I'm all right. It's still tingling.
See a doctor.
I saw the bag and I'm like, I think this will be fun, and I just nailed you.
It sounded
a really good job.
What would you say if one of your kids did that to the other one?
Oh, and it's happened three times this morning.
You should know.
That was so mean.
Yeah.
It made a fun sound, though. They got to hear the
it
crumble.
And then
I would throw it back, but you have that hat on. It's like armor.
Just going this.
Yeah. I'd have to get such a perfect straight arm angle.
It was meant to hit you in the chest. It just kind of nailed it. And you had no idea it was coming either. Yeah. So it was
I didn't know what was going on because you picked up the bag and you crumpled it basically on your mic. And then you were like, I shouldn't crumple. I could see your thought process going, I shouldn't crumple this on mic.
I kept point
and then
blank.
You did it again.
Yeah, I know.
Pass me the pigskin.
It's just kind of fun. Oh,
damn it.
Whoa.
Oh,
man.
It was pointless.
Nice. I had a much better shot from here.
For the listening audience, Sydney tried to throw it at Joe.
I was trying to fake him out. Yeah.
She hit Francis.
Shockingly, the no-look pass is a little inaccurate.
That's right. Also want to thank Foundry Virtual Tabletop, our other sponsor.
Thank you, Foundry.
Thank you, Foundry.
Bags. our third sponsor.
Paper bags.
Before I forget, I'm going to throw these at you too. These are your caps.
I'm good, thank you. Over here.
Max capacity. Sorry.
We'll never get that one.
The house rules. You can't reach it. It doesn't count. Do you need a cap?
I need one so bad.
Ooh, look at that. That was sweet. Little bounce. You want to bounce, kid? Whoa. What are we doing not bouncing caps? That was
this fun. Table is... Was one of a kind.
Yeah.
Let's throw
McDermott
more stuff.
McDermott is just cringing every time one hits the table. Stop it.
All right. So let's do this. This will be fun. It's New Year. This is, we're seven episodes in the can. This is starting the eighth episode. I don't want to wait 40 episodes before I check in. How is everyone feeling about the new campaign?
Wait, we're eight episodes in the can. This is the ninth episode.
Sure. That doesn't sound right, though.
We're seven episodes in the can. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Eight episodes in. This is nine. Yeah, Sydney, you were right.
I got mixed up.
I take
another cap.
No,
I'm kidding. how's everybody feeling about the campaign so far?
Oh, I fucking love it.
I'm
also
so
tortured
mad.
Right now.
I'm so mad at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm so frustrated because we made so much progress. I think I said in the last episode, I felt like I was playing a Bloodborne game because it does feel that way. Like we made so much progress and we just lost some footing recently. And it's so frustrating knowing that to accomplish all these things we want to accomplish, it takes days. Mm. It takes rations. Mm. It takes like fatigue. And it's just, this world is so hard. It's realistic. Like it's so hard. And we're not big magic. We're level one. And I feel,
Never trust big magic.
Never trust big magic. We hate
in the pocket of big magic.
All my homies hate big magic. But I feel very into this story. I feel super immersed and I'm feeling like these feelings because I just want to see what happens. I want to know, you know, how does it end? What happens?
Right. Okay. All right. So you like it. You're scared, but you like it. Skid, you're enjoying things.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Your alley. Okay.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Okay.
I feel like you're in a warm blanket. You're like, yeah, this is home.
Anything you'd like to see differently or like to see more of?
I made my feelings known a couple episodes ago. We implemented my suggested changes and I think they're good.
Okay.
I'd like to see more treasure.
More treasure, yeah.
More XP.
More XP. I feel like we're going too slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're doing a lot.
I think if the way that it might be meant to work is like, I don't think it takes that long to get to level two, but it gets progressively
it's possible.
Longer each time.
There are, you know, once you start crawling, things change. You know what I mean? I have a feeling.
That's true.
And without saying too much, really I just have a feeling once you start crawling, the
aren't
XP,
we crawling?
Not in the traditional sense.
No, we haven't hit like, a dungeon.
So a dungeon is, delves. I thought crawling was everything basically.
Crawling can be whatever it wants to be.
Moving
you know,
through
right?
danger.
When I say crawling, I mean like straight up dungeon. A dungeon. Yeah. And whatever that can take, it doesn't always have to be a dungeon or a cave. It could be a cave system, whatever. Castle and Ruins, for example. Then you're going to see more of a bump.
I think I agree, like I more treasure, more XP, but also like we've found unique ways to deal with situations because of our low level, like not attacking things necessarily, sneaking in, doing these things. And I feel like we deserve some sort of reward from that thinking, even though we're not technically like we didn't slay everybody in the camp and take their treasure.
Yeah.
Because why would we do that?
Right.
You know, so like we didn't get a pearl, but like we did it. We rescued the prisoners. I don't know. I just feel like maybe more.
Yeah, we're used to a different way of rewards, like action and reward. And it definitely feels slow, but it I don't know. It feels right to me. It feels appropriately dark, grimdark.
Speaking of grimdark, there is one other change I would like to discuss.
It's good. You're cooking with changes.
From Curse Scroll 2, the enduring wounds alternate rule.
Okay.
Where it's like, if you do go to zero, you roll on a table and there could be some lasting effects from your injury.
Oh,
jeez.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Especially where it only affects Joe.
Yeah, that's especially.
We're going to go to zero more than you think, I think.
No, I know, but I think that there, I would love for there to
be. Oh, wow. Yeah, this is intense.
During wounds.
I mean, is everyone just so debilitating that you can't?
A lot of them are.
Page 26 from Curse Scroll 2. If a PC survives going to zero HP after a severe injury, they might suffer an enduring wound.
Oh, yeah.
That character must pass a DC 12 con check.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Roll
D20, Joe.
I'll let you decide if you want to add this to your character or not, as we are just toying around with this rule.
Natural 4.
All right, so you biffed it. All right, so give me a D20 roll.
Let's see. Don't cheat. Let's just see what it would be.
I'm cheating. I'll throw it in the bag at you.
16.
All right. You're permanently dead.
You're groggy.
You're groggy.
You lose your next action.
So it's not a...
That's the best one.
Oh, but it's meant to be permanent. In combat.
So it's enduring? But
there are, give me another D20 roll just for an example.
Yeah, you permanently lose one hit point.
12.
Stubborn bleed. Lose 1d4 HP per round. Last 1d4 rounds.
Oh.
This has to be
disfigured. You permanently lose a point of charisma.
But it says from a severe injury.
You go to zero.
Which is just going to zero failing a con roll.
Yeah. Ruptured spleen. You permanently lose 1 point of con.
Well, yeah. Permanently lose strength. Dex, like
that's gotta be from like
if you roll a natural 20.
Well, look, I just think it requires play testing on our part. Like, yeah. I'm totally down for that if we don't go to zero all the time.
Right. This was
if
the
we're always going to zero, maybe I'll get a little.
This was the first time.
This completely destroyed individual.
Maybe we can like rebalance things.
But I mean,
with the caps, the cap.
Sure. That's true. But I could just spend a luck token on the con roll.
I really love the idea of, because it's just like, this is some of the things like in going down in other modern games, you go down and it's just like, you pop right back up and it's like, I want to feel like the fear of having a near death experience. I want that to be meaningful.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And some of these are just really interesting role play opportunities.
Yeah. Lose a limb.
Lose a limb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can just retire a character whenever you want.
Yeah.
If you roll a 20, a natural 20, it's a miracle. You have advantage on your next attack.
Yeah.
Just roll a natural 20.
Real quick. Boom. Natural.
Sand everywhere. You're blinded from 1d4 rounds.
Sand everywhere. You like go face down in the sand.
Or like the enemy kicks it up when you're toe-to-toe.
Let's talk about
Hold on.
Go ahead.
We need to make a decision on this now if we're going to do it or not. Right now.
Well, I feel
we can
like
always change our mind, but like,
of it
for the next
is,
time it happens.
You go down from a severe wound. I feel like that should come from a real like
big hit.
Big something big. Like that was a combat. A crit, maybe.
If you go down with a crit, you get an enduring wound.
If you're in full HP and you go down.
Yeah, something like that. I feel like we'll feel it out, and I want to leave it to you.
I like that. Like a one hit down
or a crit.
I like a crit.
A crit.
Do you feel like we should go to the table for this? You know, we can like talk
about
it.
Okay.
I love the idea of definitely a crit. Like a crit going down from a crit. That makes a ton of sense.
The fun, too, is offer this up to the Naish and expand upon the D20 table to a D100 table.
Sure.
Things.
Absolutely.
Can really involve all the niche.
This is the thing, because I always reflect on the old Middle Earth role playing, the Iron Crown Enterprises game. They had like a really extensive critical table, like sort of like this, with like really gory kind of results. And I always loved that. I always implemented that in like my D&D games and everything. So I love the idea.
Yeah, it's in the Alien. It's in the original Alien RPG.
Yeah.
The D66 table.
Oh, yes. Right. So Blade Runner 2, the same thing.
Of severe wounds.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a little recap from perhaps Maddie Caps from last week's. Maddie Recaps. Last week's output.
I always forget where the episodes begin because so many things happen.
I know, they blend together.
But we began, that's what I believe, we began with our Wookiee prisoner trick.
Yes.
Yep.
We donned the robes of the cultists of the Embered God, and we snuck into their camp. We did a two-pronged fork maneuver.
We forked them up.
Yeah,
forked the shit out of those cultists.
And we put a few to sleep, and then we killed another one. And then, unfortunately, they raised the alarm as we were springing Regina and the remaining brothers as we got them out of the cage. However, then we created some chaos in the camp. We started a firework. We laid some caltrops down. Everything, we got away. However, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. However, we then got back to where we left the kids, you know, in a tree to wait for us, mm-hmm. guarded by Nelvin Lansingshire. Mm-hmm. He was dead. He put up a fight, but had been slashed terribly. And
despite his immense size.
Scimitar and chainmail. And the kids were gone. We assumed, I think, we deduced relatively with evidence that it was probably the werewolf or were creature that had captured the kids before had taken them back. And then we got into a lengthy discussion about what to do next. Warwick and Ellison wanted to go after the kids immediately, and Pharaoh and Saint pointed out that that would be exceedingly dangerous in an already exceedingly dangerous world. We were low on rations, and for the moment, we gave in. Then Saint, we camped, and Saint did some hunting, and however, all he saw was a brown bear, and wisely decided not to pursue.
Not to engage.
That's where we left off,
and
right?
We burned Nelvin.
Nelvin, Lansingshire.
We're basically out of food.
And we're out of food.
Yeah.
Right. But you didn't want to try and kill the bear because you were afraid it would kill you. So.
Also, it wouldn't be good, right?
Bear meat, very gamey, right?
Bear meat?
You can eat it.
Yeah. You can eat it.
If you're starving, sure.
Yeah.
I also said other traps.
Bear meat's good.
Maybe the rabbit traps will be good, but. That's, yeah.
Musky too, right?
They have a musk gland. Gotta be careful. I don't know.
Am I making that up?
Mm-hmm.
I never hear about people eating.
You turn
bear.
Your nose up at bear. Yeah,
people eat bear.
Yeah, of course they eat bear. Did you play Red Dead Redemption 2?
No.
Skin a whole bear.
Eat all kinds of bears.
Yes, bear meat can be good. Described as a dark, rich red meat similar to a mix of venison and pork. That sounds delicious.
Oh, man,
the flavor varies based on the bear's diet.
Why are we eating more bears?
Gotta make sure you cook that bear through, though. Don't want to eat raw bear.
Killing a bear is...
Aren't they also endangered? Like, aren't there some species of bears that are endangered?
Yeah.
Is that what you're worried about as we're in the woods?
Are we killing too many bears in the gloaming for your taste?
I mean, I don't know what the state of the ecology is after the cataclysm that hit this world.
I do. I want to give a shout out to the Marty Stauffer's Wild America and his The Man Who Loved Bears arc on that show on PBS. If you haven't watched it, check it out on YouTube.
Sounds familiar.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, so you burned Nelvin Lansingshire. The brothers wanted to carry him back to Marin's Hold, but having carried him
for idiots
a day and a half, you were like, we can't do this anymore.
Open wounds,
right?
It's inviting more bears,
bunch of flesh we can't even eat.
I mean, you could eat it.
We could eat it, but I feel like they would
be upset about that.
I'll say as the night continues, we come back to that funeral pyre, and it's just, it's all blackened now. Maybe wisps of smoke are still coming off what was once the body of Nelvin. But we'll say one of you has the watch, and the brothers aren't sleeping. They're just sitting nearby. Regina has fallen asleep, but the brothers are just sitting nearby the pyre, kind of not looking at it so much as through it, taking all of this in, grateful to be alive, but they lost their youngest brother. Who's up with them?
I'd say that I am. Warwick is tossing and turning, basically.
Okay.
He keeps like shuffling around, and eventually just sort of sits up, gives up. He goes over and sits down next to the... He'll put some more wood on the campfire in order to keep us warm. And he'll sit down next to them, just in silence for a bit. I can't sleep. Keep thinking about those kids. And he rubs his brow. Seemed like your brother put up a good fight.
Yes, if he was at full strength, don't know what would have taken those children, but he would have saved them. He was a good man. Was. I have to get used to saying that. Glad our parents are dead. Wouldn't want to have to tell them their baby's gone.
How'd you start working for Regina and Martin?
We had been a part of this village a few miles to the west that suffered heavy casualties during the war. There wasn't much left, so we had evacuated with several other villages, and there was a disagreement at a certain point, a schism between the survivors, and my brothers and I just decided we should go our own way. And so we found Marin's Hold, and we're looking for work, and met Regina and Martin, and they were in need of our services, and they took good care of us, fed us, housed us, made us feel like family.
Were you in the army?
No. No. We don't want to get involved with that. But sort of inevitable that everyone is touched by it.
This creature, I can't be sure what it is. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. You hear these stories. Fairies and werewolves. This place has them. And I don't know how to kill something like that. But I feel like I have to find a way.
Why? Why do you have to stop these things? You've survived the war. Not many people can say that. Just start a new life. You don't need to be a hero.
I'm not trying to be a hero. Just trying to do what I signed up for. Just help these people have a peaceful life. I mean, I'm not interested in going off and having a peaceful life myself while others are suffering. And these children, I mean, can you get more innocent than that? To be grabbed up, lost in this place, kidnapped, taken away from home, terrified, alone, and know that I'd want to know that someone was coming for me, that's all.
Guess you just learn after a while that no one's coming. There really is no safety other than what you can provide yourself. Find a job, get a roof over your head, make sure you can eat, and keep your head down. Monsters, there's no winning against them.
We found ways before. I mean, the army was very strong, very powerful. I feel so cut off, so alone. When you work as a unit, you're so much more powerful than you are by yourself. Need more people. With more of us, we could take this thing down. Stop it from plaguing the lands. Or who knows? Maybe we can't. Maybe it needs some sort of magic. So I wish he would help.
And he just looks over at sleeping Pharaoh.
He's so powerful. I can't do it without him. I hate to admit it, but you start to learn that in the army. You learn that you can't do it yourself. And that's why you're all together.
And Pharaoh's awake. He looks asleep. He has his back turned away, but he's hearing this and feels this like hot burning shame at his recurring cowardice that is like he still feels it, and it's like he can't get away from it. And he's just, his skin is flushed. He's like sitting there and he's kind of cursing himself in his own head for not wanting to help, for not offering to help in this moment.
Why don't you want to go get them? You're looking for peace, quiet, solitude.
It's a terrible tragedy, but it isn't my tragedy. What's happened to them is beyond our control. Stuff like this happens all the time, doesn't make it right, but we can't move through life fighting everyone else's battles. There's enough battles on the home front to fight.
my CEO who died when the blast happened. He was a knight gallant of the 10th Cavalry. And he spoke to me often of the concepts of honor and chivalry and justice. But rolled in it is this, his faith in the lost. Do you know of the lost?
Heard of it, but it's not something we believe in.
Well, he convinced me pretty well. These nameless gods that represent those forgotten about. Those who perhaps can't find their way back. And the thing is, that's sort of all of us. We're all lost. We're all wandering. And the way we said it in the 10th, all we have is each other. At least that makes you feel like you're moving in a direction. And with all of them dead, I don't know which direction I'm going. So, I envy you your certainty for what it is you want. But I'm torn in a lot of different ways. I want to help those kids. But Pharaoh's right. They're already infected. I don't have the means to kill a wolf, a werewolf. I don't have the means to heal them even if I got them out. I don't have any food. And I don't have a bloody army anymore. What are you going to do when we get back? Your caravan's been destroyed. You're going to be out of work. How are you going to get back on your feet?
Be honest, I haven't thought that far ahead. I just assumed Regina and Martin would figure that out, but maybe that was naive of me. Just grieving has sort of thrown a wrench into my plans. The plans of my brother. Sure, we'll figure it out. Just be good to get back behind those walls.
Well, I'm sorry for your brother. I'm going to find the creature that did that to him. And I'm going to kill it.
Well, that's very noble of you. But a word of advice, if you're interested, try and figure out who you're doing that for. Is it for my brother? These kids? Yourself? Something else? I'd make sure you know the answer to that question before you go traipsing back up there. Sorry, I'm just rambling now. Probably should sleep. He looks over at his brother. His brother's already kind of nodded off. He's just sitting there, sleeping.
Get some rest. I can't sleep. I'll stay up for a while longer watching, and then I'll wake up Saint.
And he just kind of like tucks his brother neatly, like leans him over so he's not sitting in that awkward position. So he'll wake up with a pain in his neck, and he lays nearby. And you're left alone in the camp.
He's just staring into the fire, just thinking over and over again. Who is he doing this for? What is he doing this for?
I know you said you were waiting for Saint, but I think it'd be more interesting if you woke up.
My turn for the watch?
Yeah, your turn for the watch. Relieve him.
Okay. Yeah, I'll walk over and wake up Ellison.
Listen.
And he wakes up, and you can tell, like, his eyes are all puffy, and, like, he's been crying. Like he was asleep, but he clearly, like was weeping quietly in his bedroll.
You're up on watch.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to get some sleep, but...
Can't sleep?
No, I keep thinking about this. I keep thinking about Marin. Barnaby.
Me too.
Yeah, I know.
It occurred to me. Nelvin. He was able to wound the creature.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
This might be our only opportunity, and if we can find her when she's in her human form, wounded, that's possible. Moving back and forth between the forms would heal her, but if we can get there during the day and find her wounded, we might have our best shot at killing them. And it's possible. I don't know. I'd have to research it more, but it's possible killing the one that turned you might restore kids to their original form. I don't know that for sure, though.
Listen, I've been over and over it.
How can we just leave them? We know where they are. We know where they are.
We can leave them because... Look, we might not like it, but Pharaoh's right. Pharaoh's right. We don't know how to kill it. And even if it's not there and we just take the kids, we don't know how to heal them. And if we bring them to Marin's hold, the creature's going to track us. And we bring a werewolf to Marin's hold. There's so many questions.
Unless we kill the wolf.
But I've heard these stories that they can't die. That even if you kill it the way you would kill a man, it comes back. And I don't know what the secret is. I don't know what the magic is.
Burn it. Dismember it.
Do you know that?
No, I don't know it. I don't know for sure.
I mean, we also have nothing to eat.
That's true, whether or not we go. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
When I fall asleep at night, I dream I'm back at home. My wife, my daughter. There never was a war. I never left. But here's the strange thing. Is that every time, every night, it doesn't feel like a dream. It feels real. Every day, foraging for herbs, people from the village coming to us for poultices and remedies, and just the hard scrabble everyday life we lived. And this, I wake up to this, and none of this feels real.
Like this is the dream. Or the nightmare.
Part of using magic, my teacher, the one I learned from the war, is being able to hold two realities in your head at once. The rules of the world as you know it, and then a whole other reality that can break those rules, that can make people fall asleep, and fire off force out of my hand. But here's my point. I don't know which one is real anymore. So I have to behave in my dreams and in the real world, whichever one that is, as if they're both real.
Or as if they're both dreams. If this is a dream, you could kill a werewolf, right?
Yes. But also, if this is not a dream, can we live with ourselves if we don't?
I Sometimes death is the easier way. You say, I want to go do that thing. This happened to me. I wasn't with the unit long. And we had gotten into... That's a long story. I don't need to go into details, but rest assured, some villagers had been taken off by Ordos. And we knew that they were going to enslave them. And I wanted to go after them. I was insistent that I was a low-ranking soldier. My CO, he refused to let me go. He said that was the easy way. If I went there, if we all charged off after them, away from our supply lines, without keeping our wits about us, we die, and we die heroes. Perhaps. But we don't help those people. We help those people by getting stronger and defeating the army. It was hard for me to take then, but it's easy to follow orders. You're told what to do and you do it. But now, I'm not used to voting, Ellison. I usually don't get a vote. It was easier that way. It was hard, but I didn't feel personally responsible. So I know how you feel. I feel like we're making the decision to let Marin and Barnaby die.
It's worse than death. To become monsters.
Right. But there is a chance. Pharaoh's a very wise man. There's a chance that if we get stronger, if we get fed, if we learn how to defeat this thing, the kids will still be alive when we finally track it down. It didn't seem interested in killing them.
No. That might be true, and it might be the best shot we have. But the thing we should consider is that with every day we let go, and if it is true that that creature wants to become their mother, incorporate them into their brood, they may not want to return.
Well, I can't help what they want. I know what their parents want. And I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go to Wardenwood and tell their parents that we left their children behind. I mean, we could go. We could just go. And if they don't want to come, they don't have to come. But I don't think we'll help them that way. We could get lucky, but I think it's a low percentage chance of success.
I put the odds 5-1 against.
Never tell me the odds.
Never tell me the odds. We're going.
Well, let me try to get some rest. I'm not...
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm keeping you up.
But we can ask them again in the morning. See if a little sleep changed their minds. Remind them that it's hurt now, and it won't be hurt a week from now.
And it won't be one werewolf we're facing a week from now. It'll be three. Get some rest.
And he'll lay down to sleep.
As you lay down to sleep, we flash to the morning as you're all breaking camp. Brion and Corvin are collecting some of the ashes from the pyre, the makeshift pyre that you made. Like, they don't know if they're taking leaves or whatever. It's more of a symbolic gesture. They're just trying to collect something that was their brother. And Regina looks to you and says, So, what's the plan? I'm not exactly sure where we are, but I think we're still at least about 2 days back to Marin's. Am I correct?
3, probably, right?
It is minimum 3, actually.
3 days. And we're... or you are out of... running out of food?
I think during that, when she's asking, Saint is collecting the rabbit traps as he's coming back to camp.
Mm.
Did he...
You caught 2 rabbits, so 2 rations.
So he comes back holding 2 rabbits and flings them up and kind of looks at the group with this look in his eye of like, this is it. And he flings them over his shoulders as he continues to pack up.
I just imagine this like melancholy over the camp. You know, everybody's quiet.
And Ellison looks at Warwick. And he looks at the group and he goes, I just want to say one thing. I'll respect our vote, but I want to make one last attempt to sway you to go after those children. The creature is hurt now. We come back.
All right, I'll go. I listened to you talk for fucking hours last night. All right, you got to me, all right? We'll go. We'll go get the kids. We're going to starve to death either way, so it's fine. It's fine. We'll go.
And Saint also just raises his hand.
Well, so you'll go then?
Yeah.
Ow.
Just don't.
Warwick hits Ellison and smiles lightly.
Just, if you're gonna have conversations like that, just keep them away from the camp. I couldn't fucking sleep.
Sorry, Farai, I didn't know you were awake.
Who could sleep?
Exactly.
Sorry.
This is Regina. She's like, from your discussion the other day, we'd be at least 24 miles, 2 days away from this cave, which would put us even further away from Marin's hold. We owe you our lives. We will travel with you, and I'm useless. That's why I have guards. They've got these daggers.
Sickles now.
Sickles.
And armor.
Sickles and armor. We will help as best we can. If you really think this is the best decision,
it's the right thing to do.
There's better game that way, too. We hunted in those woods before. All that's here is a big bear, and I think it would be better we get out of here regardless.
Yeah, I'm like, part of this is shame, being shamed for cowardice, feeling, you know, kind of like called out. And part of it is just like fear that a rift between any number of our group could destroy this, what little sort of chance at safety that I have.
Yeah.
You know, can't lose anyone. Can't afford to lose anyone. Mm. Anyone decides to like go their own way or just to depart with us and everything, that would could be completely disastrous.
Yeah, and I think similarly to Pharaoh, who couldn't sleep, Saint, who was sleeping, had horrible nightmares. Like, doesn't feel like he slept at all. Just had these insanely bizarre dreams of being chased by a wolf and being a rat, like transforming into a rabbit himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then explaining to Marin, like having a flashback of talking to little Marin about the rabbit traps he had set one night at camp and like showing her how to catch a rabbit without killing it in the snare, and then how you like prepare. So it was like a weird dream where he kind of remembered that they had spent so much time with these kids. And it just, he also feels this shame and guilt and knows that if it came to splitting the party, he would just agree to go with them because it would be a death sentence if that was the case. So when he was getting the rabbits this morning, just like had flashes of these dreams and stuff and just feels so somber and quiet, and that's why he agreed immediately.
Yeah, for the record, we didn't talk about this at all.
No.
This wasn't something we discussed like pre-ep, like, we should go get the kids. Let's pivot the story that way or whatever. Like, I seriously sat down thinking we were not doing
that. I mean, too.
That's what I thought driving in.
All right. So can
which direction do you want to go?
Well, follow the blood trail.
Yeah, follow the blood trail.
Blood trail, yeah.
That'd be back up to the
northwest
ravine.
Oh, well, no.
Oh, well, let's
go northwest and see if we can catch the blood trail.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you're going to...
Because if we can't, we still have a destination.
You're going to make your way in the direction of the cave where you originally found the children.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's see what happens right after the break.
Hey, everybody. It's me, internet sensation Skid Marr, here to talk to you about Othera from Crit Heads Gaming. Crit Heads Gaming is a U.S. veteran-owned one-man operation focused on classical gaming adventure module writing, and Othera is a new world for you and your table to explore. Their debut adventure module introduces you to this world as you race to uncover the elves' treasonous plot to reignite a world war gone cold. It is a steampunk meets sword and sorcery setting. Fireballs meets gunpowder, what could go wrong? Seriously, check out the cover art of this. I love airships. It's awesome. The book has everything you need to introduce your table to Othera. It is available in three variants, Shadow Dark, Castles and Crusades, and a system agnostic variant that uses an intuitive 1 to 10 scale, 5 being average. So it's easy to play in any TTRPG system, even non-D20 systems. You can follow at Critheads Gaming on the platform formerly known as Twitter and share your stories in Othera, and it could become official canon in the game, which is pretty cool. So yes, follow at Critheads Gaming, at CritHeadsGaming on the aforementioned social media platform for new product releases. Then pick up Othera Cataclysm today and steal yourselves for the cataclysm.
They say, go big or go home. But now you can go big at home with the Big Arch on delivery. That's right, the Big Arch is back and it's here to stay. Big Arch, for big McDonald's hunger. Order in the McDonald's app. Serve from 11 a.m. 18 plus. Service fee and small order fee may apply. Upcharges apply to delivery orders. Subject to availability. Price and participation may vary.
Right, that's it. Come on, lights out. You've got a test tomorrow.
Just 2 minutes. I'm about to reach the next level.
It's going off now.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's see. Where's the app? Oh, here it is. Ha.
What? How?
Oh, no. You're out. Better luck next time.
Mom!
It's game over for late nights on school nights. EE Wi-Fi controls help you get them off the Wi-Fi and into bed. More parents are choosing EE Broadband, the UK's fastest growing broadband provider.
To verify, see ee.co.uk/claims.
From the darkest corners of our imagination comes a game show that's more ridiculous than terrifying. Welcome to Tickled to Death. I'm your host, Roz Hernandez, and I'll be guiding guests through the creepy questions and chaotic games, all to win the ultimate title of Horror Movie Champion. Listen to Tickled to Death wherever you get your podcasts, and hit follow, unless you want the show to follow you.
We're back, and we're moving.
Let's cook it.
There you go.
Sydney doesn't like it.
No.
Roll
Sydney hates it.
To the
it.
Northwest to see if you're able to catch a trail. You roll to the northwest, and who's your best tracker? Would that be you, Saint? Or
probably both, Pharaoh and Saint.
Go ahead and give me some wisdom rolls.
13.
That's certainly that'll be better than mine, but 16.
13, 16.
I can roll too. I've got okay wisdom.
Okay.
17.
So you don't really have tracking.
I don't really have tracking.
Yeah.
No, it's just I'd be guessing.
No. From here, you don't see anything, any trace of it. You gotta imagine this is a huge swath. Yeah. You'd have to, unless you're going back to that tree and seeing if there's any trail from there, you're not seeing anything. But you're also not bothered at all in the first half of the day. And then...
So we already consumed our rations for last night, and now we've got two more that we'll need
to... Did we have enough for everybody? We didn't have enough for everybody.
Yeah, I think we did rations last episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rations ran out yesterday. Everybody ate. Now we have two, and that's it. So Saint also needs...
I have one.
Okay, so we have three.
So we need four more to cover everybody.
So Saint would also hunt during... our time.
Yeah, I can hunt too. Like I have the ranger background too. So.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So you're hunting as you're walking, which would slow you down a little bit, but yeah. You're trying to, do you need food?
I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world to slow down, because the one thing we want to ensure is that we arrive at the cave during the day.
That's true.
We don't want to get there.
Do one hex per day instead of, we're eating more food then. But
I think if we do one hex today and hunt,
yeah,
stay here and hunt and we do whatever we can, or move to the next one hunt, regardless, tomorrow we'll move two, and then the next morning we can hit the cave.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll move two.
All right, so you want to stay in this hex for the rest of the
day and hunt and get some rations.
Okay.
No, we still move. Did we move already?
Yeah,
you moved. Okay, great. Okay. Oh, now I see it. Okay.
Okay. Great. Let's see if you're able to find anything. Between the three of you, you find three more rations. So not enough to feed everybody, but Regina is like, you know, we're more mouths to feed. We can go a day without it. Much more than that, you know, you're putting yourselves at risk by not feeding these men. You know, we're very grateful, but at a certain point, we need to go home. There's just not enough food. I don't.
You're welcome to go if you like. You'd be putting yourself at risk.
I understand.
So going alone, but this is something that we as a group have to do. You can accompany us or you can go home. That's your decision.
And I can set traps tonight. There's only so much game when we're here making noise. We're a large group. If I could scout ahead, it would be better, but we can't do that right now. But I can set traps tonight and hopefully we'll have something in the morning for you.
Okay. Okay. All right, so when we first started doing this, you know, when you had your rabbits for sale, I didn't think too much about it. And now as we continue doing it, realizing, like, this food situation is going to be a situation. You're not always going to be able to just buy rations. We might as well bring in the rules for Cursed Scroll 4 and just kind of be consistent with it. And it just, in a paragraph, it says, PCs can go 3 days without consuming a ration. After that, they take 1d4 con damage per day, and they die at zero. Like, death at zero. It's not like you get your rolls, you starve to death. Jeez. A PC can forage for one ration a day with an intelligence check. So I think in lieu of, you know, sort of this homebrewed hunting, we should just straight up, everybody rolls an intelligence check. If you succeed, including these NPCs, we add rations to the fold. I think that's the best way to do it. Now you can...
What about hunting?
Could they use a wisdom check for hunting?
It's different from equivalent.
Yeah, hunting... you know, we'd just be making something up at this point, I think.
I'd almost rather an intelligence.
Oh, that's really? Fine. I'm just asking if there was a way to cover
my two worst stats.
I've known some dumbass hunters, and they're very successful.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, the hunting, I've just been kind of making up my own system back here that works, but I like the idea of you forage with an intelligence check, and maybe hunting is just, if you're setting traps like that, I'm just rolling randomly to determine if you find anything, and if you do, how many.
Okay.
Great.
And I can continue to do that.
I think that seems fair.
Yeah.
All right, so... And we can forage as we walk, as you were saying. Like, we can...
Yeah.
But I still think we want to stagger our arrival at the cave anyway, so...
To be during the day.
Yeah. All right, but anyway, this is a day, and we need to eat, so...
Yep, here we go.
We'll just see what happens.
One NPC succeeded. So they were able to get one
rush. I failed.
From four.
I failed.
What's the success? I got 12. 14. Oh, so great. Yeah. So Allison
succeeded. And I succeeded as well.
Okay, so you got three more rations.
Plus the three that we had, right? Two rabbits.
We had five, right? Two rabbits and there was three from something, no?
Three was from what the made-up hunting rule was that we just did, but are we scrapping that?
No, you can keep those.
No.
So then we have five, six, eight.
So eight, and I already had one.
Nine.
That I will eat today, yeah. Tonight. So we'll bed down tonight.
So before bed, how many do you have?
So mine is now gone.
Nine before bed.
Okay. Nine before bed, and there are seven of us.
So there's two left.
So there's two rations left in the morning.
Regina's just looking at you like, this is a bad idea, but we're so grateful. And if we leave, we'll die.
But that's the thing. Like, even if we're going back home, we'll still be facing pretty much the same situation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So we are getting, like, we had to get to the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we're just going
a little further.
A day off the road and then back to the road and down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Bed down for the night.
Bed down for the night.
Does anything happen? You were asking about how whether I like this campaign. And one of the things that I do really like is, like, with the campaigns we've played for the last 10 years, it's always felt like random encounters aren't really that random. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like, yeah, the GM decides if it's a moment or not to have, not to have an encounter, but to roll a random encounter. And this definitely feels like, even when coming in today, I was like, we're heading back to Marin's Hold. That's what I thought we were doing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's still a journey.
I know. Yeah. Still,
we could have a horrifying fight. Whereas in our previous games, it'd be like, oh, you got the people from the quest, and now you're gonna return to the quest giver, and you just get there. Right? Like, this is feels so different.
It's so funny. Like, if we had been tracking rations in any other game we played, I would have been like, oh my God, this is such a man. But this is so intense.
Yeah.
It's so evocative. Yeah. It's like, oh, we have to figure out food every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So on Saint's Watch, you're sitting there at the camp now. A lot more bodies here, but full belly, at least for tonight. And the night air is chill, but nothing out of the ordinary, until suddenly you feel this intense cold, localized. It almost feels like right around you. The hairs on your arm begin to stand up. If you look down at any of your exposed skin, hair starts standing up, and it's just like the temperature drops 10 degrees. You look around to see if something or someone is causing this. And in the woods, amongst the trees, first it looks like a tree, this long shadow. But then you see the shadow start to move, like sway back and forth, and then dart, and then you lose it. From out of the woods, a figure walks towards you.
I'm getting my bow. I have my bow.
Okay.
And I think he would yell to wake people up, but also yell to this figure and say, "Stop!"
Shadow!
Stop! Don't take another step!
I wake up.
Guys, all
chainmail.
You all come to down your chainmail.
Chainmail, sword.
Like hastily, Iron Man.
Hastily done.
Guys, all come to, and you see Saint with his bow trained on the woods, and you look and you see this figure coming towards you. It does not stop. But the reason you don't fire right away is as it comes into the moonlight, you can see directly through it. It is a spectral man.
Oh.
And as he comes to the edge of the camp,
what the fuck?
You see Nelvin Lansingshire.
Oh.
And he's standing there and just has like a huge chunk taken out of his neck.
Oh my God.
Large claw marks on his chest, and he has this sort of like blue ethereal glow about him. And he just looks like past you. As the stench of death hangs heavy on you all, I see thousands of bodies clawing at your heels. Can you see them?
No.
You have left much destruction in your wake. It goes with you. Soon you will see as I see. I know not why I am here, but I will speak what I do know. The shadows that surround you are hungry, and they will feast despite your best efforts. I tried to hold the line for the children, but still, the night took them. And now you. You will go towards them and suffer the same fate. You are the children now. You have been taken by the night. These tragedies will persist until you accept your fate. Choices will always be left undone and haunt your every step. And while there is no right, no wrong, no just or unjust, the dark watches and the dark remembers. And this constant agony will weigh you down as much as your open wounds. Turn back. Or make the only logical choice before the choice is made for you. My brothers, I look forward to seeing you. It is so much easier here. Leave them. They are cursed. Regina, thank Martin for me. And I thank you. He just sort of stands there, staring. What do you do?
What was it that killed you? Tell us. Is it a creature?
Wolf. Wolf that walks on two legs.
You injured it?
Yes. I stuck the sickle in its side. But it overpowered me. It had the strength of 20 men.
And you'll have us leave it? Never. Take the kids, take the children. And not try to help them after you gave your life for it.
It will destroy you. Choose your own death. Don't go that way.
He looks at Ellison. Looks back at the Spectre.
We don't have a choice.
I thought that as well. I wish now I had ended my life in that cage. You still have the choice.
Pharaoh is going to stand and pull from his pouch this makeshift holy symbol of Geed that he put together himself out of like branches and rope. And he holds it out. It's, "Be gone, Spectre!"
Yes.
And I'm going to turn undead.
Yes! Classic!
Okay.
Natural 20.
Oh! you put out your holy symbol of Geed. What is the holy symbol of Geed?
I got to think about that.
Okay, so you put this out, this aforementioned holy symbol, and you turn undead, and you see Nelvin's face very quickly change to something vile and horrible as it lunges towards you, lunges towards the symbol, and then just dissipates.
Looking wide-eyed at Pharaoh.
I mean, I think we're all just like drenched in sweat. Ellison is drenched in cold sweat.
What the right fuck was that? What was that?
How did you do that?
Pharaoh, what was that?
I don't know.
What did you do?
I think I killed it.
I go over to where it was and I just start kicking around in the dirt.
How do you kill a ghost?
See if there's anything left. I don't know, but I did it. You're gonna let a ghost tell us what to do?
That wasn't him, right?
Who saw it first? Regina says. Who was the first to see it?
I did.
What? He just walked out of the woods?
Yeah. Weird. Just showed up and it... That wasn't him. That wasn't him. We burned the body. We did what we were supposed to do.
If it wasn't him, who was it?
Something trying to stop us. Something trying to lie. It was lying.
How do you know it was lying?
We're not cursed.
How do you know we're not cursed? I certainly feel cursed.
I decide my own fate.
As do I.
As do I, but we do. All of us carry a trail of the dead with us for what we did in the war.
Of course we do. We fought in a war. That's what war is. I don't carry my guilt like you two do. I don't have to prove myself to anyone. Now, I agreed to get the kids, and I stand by that agreement. Do you?
I don't know.
Yes. Yes, I do.
I mean, if it has the strength of 20 men, if we knew the kids were held by 20 men, we wouldn't go.
I didn't know you were such a fickle fucker, Warwick.
Fickle fucker? I'm trying to keep you alive!
We're not facing a wolf.
Fucking lying thief.
Enough.
What did you say?
Why can't you stand by your name?
Stop.
Why can't you say who you really are?
Stop. You're going to draw more attention to us from whatever is out here. There are things in this forest that are beyond our knowledge. Don't let it get to you. There are things that feast on fear.
Damn straight. And Saint just looks at Warwick. Now, I made an agreement. Should we take another vote?
I stand by our mission. And if we're not going to be told what to do by a specter, if that was Nelvin, well, he's gone now. We're not facing a wolf. If it is a wolf we're facing, we die. We're trying to face the human.
It wasn't Nelvin. It wasn't Nelvin, one of the brothers.
Is that how he said? Yeah. Did he sound like that? Is that how he talked?
He would have never suggested taking our own life. If that had any connection to him, it was a bastardized version of him. That's not our brother. That's not our brother. We left our brother back there.
That's what it's a trick. The forest is trying to keep us from doing what we agreed to do. Well, if I can find the courage to do this, like, of course you should. You're the one that convinced me. You're gonna let this fucking Casper fucking tell you what to do, spook you.
Just relying on unreliable intelligence is all.
Well, I can't speak to intelligence. All I've got is wisdom. I've got very low intelligence. But the wisdom is telling me that this was a trick. We shouldn't let it dissuade us from what we were planning to do anyway.
It's just the 20 men thing. It bothered me. I pictured 20 men holding the children and then we'd never go without help. That's all I'm saying.
It just baffles me because this is exactly what I was saying before and you didn't listen to me at all. And then a ghost shows up and then I kill it and then you listen to the ghost. The ghost is dead.
Of course I listened to you. I listened.
Let's get some sleep. We have a full day's journey in the morning.
I'll stay up first. I'm not done with my watch. And he puts his bow back down next to him and just sits down.
Swear to God, I'm never going to get another sleep as long as I fucking live.
Never get a night's sleep.
Until we get back to town. Hopefully we give you some of our gold.
You got to roll a Jonsky.
Guys, just think about how rich we're going to be when we get back.
Is that what you're asking for?
That's what he's asking.
Do you want me to make sure you all have a nice sleep?
No.
Is that all you want? Is that all I am to you?
Like anesthesia, though. It's not real sleep.
It was actually not real sleep. I wish like my girlfriend knew that spell.
God,
that would be amazing.
I know.
I can't sleep. Boom.
God, that'd be so good.
Where were you at 4 a.m. today?
Where were you?
Okay. All right, so... Another horrible night in the forest.
Awesome.
Another horrible night in the horrible forest.
So the con roll. Like, is this a... Are you not worried about this? Because you don't...
have any spells that you've lost yet?
I didn't cast anything today.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. You cast Turn Undead, but you succeeded.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter. If you didn't fail to spell, then that con roll doesn't really matter mechanically, right?
Right. What is the con roll?
If you fail a DC 12 con roll on an interrupted rest, you don't get the benefits of rest.
Got it. So right.
For you, you would want to do it because it would reset your spell clock.
I guess this was interrupted.
I haven't cast anything, so
yes. I made it.
You're good. All right, so
natural 19.
You get that other
awesome.
Oh, made it.
Free turn undead, for example, without losing it.
Right, that's the thing, is getting the free one.
Yeah, for our house rule. Of yeah.
For the, per the house rule.
Yeah. And for us, if we fail it, we don't get hit points back.
Yeah.
If we had lost hit points.
Right.
And you still lose the ration, which is awful.
Oh, horrible.
So mean. Okay.
I really do, though. I love the turn undead thing.
That's pretty cool.
That was great.
I mean, the natural 20, too.
Yeah, and it just made you think, like, oh, maybe there's something else going on here. Okay. So,
I mean, not I wasn't awake to this, but we did. Saint saw something and then saw Nelvin. So I don't know if there was a specter that
and I didn't
took Nelvin's form.
It took Nelvin's form. It didn't know. It seemed to know things that Nelvin knew, but maybe it could also have pulled it from our thoughts.
It really did. Yeah. I mean, that's my guess. That's the thing. We have to guess. We can't.
But only Saint saw that, and Saint didn't mention.
This is what I'm
saying. I'm Matthew's now.
Right. But I think Saint immediately was just like, that wasn't him. He said it out loud. He was like, that couldn't have been him. It doesn't make any sense.
And nothing he said was something we didn't know already.
Yes.
So, like, if the specter is pulling from our fears and our thoughts,
right,
to create itself, then
yeah, it's a boggart.
Boggart.
Mm.
Picks your worst fear.
Yeah.
20 men is your worst fear.
Yeah.
19 million would have been 19 fine.
Yeah. 21.
A bridge too far.
I guess that was the failure in my argument was that I argued it would maybe 20 men.
Yeah.
Or 19 men.
All right.
So
do we want to go?
Everything else is fine. You wake up the next day.
Traps.
You get 4.
Wow.
Oh. Wow.
Score. Squirrels.
Saint did say
the
game was better this way.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. So do we want to go southwest and then northwest?
Why don't we just go to
southwest?
Why don't we just go two straight across west to right below?
There is no straight across.
It's
west.
A hex.
So southwest.
Oh, I can't quite. Sorry. Southwest and then, north.
Yeah, so we'll end
southwest,
up.
Then northwest would be the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
across the road.
You get onto the path with the first half of your day. And then on the second half of your day, you go northwest to be one.
Yeah, to be away. One hex away from the cave. This is crazy.
And let's do our foraging.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Natty 19.
Natural 20.
All right.
I'm going to luck token this roll.
Oh really? All right. Yeah, so I'm going to say you get 2 rations.
Okay. Awesome.
I feel like I can do it, and I think I did. Oh, did you say it was 12?
Well.
Oh, yeah, then I got it. Natty 14.
All right, so you got one, you got 2. None, and let's see if the PC's got any.
Oh, man.
Good at hunting, bad at intelligence checks.
PC's did not get any.
Dumb bastard.
All right, so that's
2, 2,
well,
8.
They
literally
eating.
Got 7.
Were we able to find any food?
Oh, because of the good.
From the traps.
If it was a spice you're after, I could find that, but food.
We should talk. I'm an herbalist. We could go into business.
We should hang.
But we had one or two left over from the night before?
Yeah, we had 2 left from the night before.
So we have 9 again.
So we have
9
left, again. So we have 2 left over again.
2 left over again. I'll tell you what's freeing up. My gear slots.
Yeah, gear slots.
I have so much space in my backpack now.
So much room for activities.
Now that I'm starving to death.
Also tossed the caltrips too. So those came off.
Can we quickly just so we don't now go like, 30 episodes into the future and be like, wait a second. We made a sledge with the wolf pelts and we carried it to the ravine. And left all our shit with the kids in the tree. When we went back, I assume the werewolf didn't take our stuff.
No. Okay. All that stuff was there.
So then we're still carrying that. We still have our pelts and all the other stuff we want to sell later. I just want to make that
clear. You're dragging a bunch of shit along.
Well, let's be honest. Corvin's dragging it. I'm not dragging
it. Okay, Corvin.
But who
was Nelvin the biggest of the three?
Yeah. Yes, the youngest and the largest.
Who's the second biggest? Corvin or Brion?
Brion.
All right, so Brion's doing it.
Yeah.
But who was I talking to?
You're talking to Brion.
Brion.
Yeah.
But we do have a cache.
But they all look the same to you?
We have our cache.
We do.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
If we live to get back to Marin's Hold and sell all the shit we've got.
I was saying before,
deliberately
so rich.
Organize a cash creating expedition. Play the drop.
All right. So the plan is we sleep tonight. Mm-hmm. Hopefully survive whatever comes our way.
Hopefully a quiet night.
And then the next morning, first light, we go to the cave, scout it out.
Yes.
And try to get see what's what.
Tonight, I'd like to do the same thing we did on our OG visit to the cave. I would like to scout and stake out the entrance and see if there's any activity.
Mm-hmm. I think we did that on the cave hex.
On that hex, yeah.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'd be 6 miles away otherwise.
I guess so, yeah.
At least.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Let's just split the party.
No.
All right.
This might be the, I mean.
Don't.
Okay. So you get close, half a day's journey away from this cave, assuming that the children are there in some way, shape, or form, and perhaps whatever took them. The prisoners, Regina and her two brothers, are getting a little grumpy. They're tired. They're barely eating, and they're not adventurers. You know what I mean? Like, they had planned to go out, get their stuff, come back, and then they got
interrupted. Stay on the road.
So there's this weird tension between them being grateful and also being a little passive aggressive at every turn, like finding little things to say, like, you know, if you go the wrong way and have to double back or something, they'll say something just kind of needles. So there's this weird, like, uncomfortable tension within the group. And as you're getting ready, Regina says, so you think we can take care of this by tomorrow?
Yeah. That's...
What happens if the children aren't there? Do we just keep going deeper children into the forest? Children aren't there, or?
And there's no sign of them. We return to Marin's Hold.
Okay. What if you find a map to where they might be? We keep going.
And you're welcome to head back to Marin's Hold.
I see. Okay. So you're just going to look endlessly for these children?
Nope. We'll look until we find them. Then it'll end.
Okay.
Yeah. The search should end once we find them.
Yeah. That'll be the end of the search.
And if you don't find them, you just...
That's company policy.
Okay. We go there. They're not there. You move on. Or you keep looking.
Well... No, if they're leads. Not there, we return to Marin's Hold, as I said before.
Okay.
We're eager to get you back there.
Yeah.
No one wants to get you back home more than we do.
One of the brothers says, if this is your being eager, I'd hate to see what it is when you're in no rush.
Who said that?
Corvin.
Goddamn. Hate that guy.
Your fucking Corvin.
Your favorite.
Saint is just like picking his nails with his dagger as everybody's arguing. Just he now hates their company. He is just, it has been nothing but stress. And he's just kind of like looking at Corvin as he picks his nails.
What are you looking at?
You. Got a problem with it?
No. Don't you have a rabbit to catch?
Feeling hungry?
Not for rabbit and squirrels.
Then no. He puts his sheaths his dagger. You know what? I am going to go catch some fucking rabbits.
Thank you, Saint.
And he walks off to set his traps for the night. And also do a little perimeter walk, some alone time perimeter walk, quietly.
Make sure to reinforce to Troy how alone you are.
Very
alone. Using the word alone.
So alone.
That's a good idea.
Out of earshot.
Yes.
First level.
Can't just want to make
seen.
Sure I'm out of earshot. Right.
I want to
make sure if I scream that
no
I
one.
Cannot be heard.
Thick cover of tree.
Okay. Great. And you're just kind of looking around, doing some perimeter checks. Oh, God. I saw it.
Sneaking.
Sneaking, sure.
Quietly. Okay.
Go and give me a sneak roll with advantage.
Stupid idiot. A dumb girl. 18.
All right.
Oh, so sneaky.
She's skulking about. and
I'm skulking now. I'm going, stupid.
Not sulking. Yes. Skulking.
Not sulking. What's sulking about?
No, you're like, I'm sulking.
Sulkily skulking.
Hate these rabbits.
Stupid merchants.
Stupid merchants. You said that about
I hate
my
Corvin.
Quirrell. Yes.
God.
Corvin
can eat my poo. Yeah.
Bring him back some poo. That'll show him.
Hmm. You get not too far away from the camp where you notice that the bark on a lot of the trees near the base has been like scratched, like it's missing a lot of chunks. A lot of the trees in this area have been marked in such a way.
And then not like a deer antler when they're shedding their velvet marking.
No, this is much lower to the ground. Much lower to the ground, like something is scraping up against these trees.
Cool.
Missing huge chunks of bark, and it's very noticeable because all the trees in this area are like almost barren from the waist down, as it were. But at a height, you know,
nude.
At a height from basically your waist, but some larger quadruped must have done this.
I stop walking immediately and I listen. Do I hear birds? Do I hear bats? Do I hear?
You hear a little normal nature sounds of birds, maybe a. Sound of a raven nearby, and you know, I would say someone like you would know that ravens are very, very smart. Mm. And usually, if there's a raven nearby, it can sometimes be there to signal that there's bigger game about, because then it can feast on the entrails after you take care of it. So you hear like a raven's quark,
carrion bird. I'd like to look at the tree. Mm. There's a tree near me. At the bark, is there any residue of anything? Like, there's no blood or anything, right? Like, it didn't...
Give me a wisdom check as you try to examine this.
Four.
Something sharp made these marks. To what end, you don't know, but you don't really see any blood. It's just very disconcerting to have this be not too far away from camp.
All right, yeah, I will head back to camp then, fill everybody in. Explain, I didn't see whatever it was. I've never seen marks like this before. I mean, we could check it out together if you think. I don't know. It feels dangerous, but then again, everything feels dangerous, so. I did hear carrion birds, though, which means it could be that whatever this creature is killing other smaller creatures, leaving out its body so the birds can eat, but I don't know. Doesn't feel safe.
Well, we don't have much of a choice, do we? I'm not interested in hunting this thing.
No.
Yeah, no.
We'll stay close to our fire. And if it comes at us, we'll be ready.
All right.
All right, so we'll rest for the night.
You'll rest for the night. So...
Comfortably and with no interruptions.
You lay down. And you don't go to sleep before, you know, you hear some noise now far away, like snorting.
Oh, I know.
And it's a little ways off, but like as you're getting settled for the night and everyone is like stopped talking and the watch is set so you haven't actually bed down, you hear this like snorting sound. It sounds like there's several of them. And they all, the good thing is that it sounds like it's all coming from the same direction. It's not all like coming on you, but there is something not too far away, snorting in the woods.
Boars?
Get behind me.
My thought is boar.
Boars. I'm thinking wild boars, which will fuck you.
Yes.
Javelinas.
I mean, one is hard enough, multiple. But I mean, what are we going to do?
Could you imagine 50 feral hogs?
Get behind me.
Oh, I can't.
D100 hogs.
D100 hogs. Feral hogs.
I'll get behind you.
I also get my bow out.
Yeah, I'm going to load my
I'll get armed, crossbow. Shielded up, and behind Ellison.
And we tell Regina.
Rion and Corvin got their sickles, and Regina's like, what do you think is out there?
I don't know. Boar, maybe?
Boars?
Wild boar.
Single boar could tear all of us apart.
What are we going to do? Pack up camp and leave?
There's more than one.
Can your traps catch anything more than rabbits? Can you...
Technically, yes. A snare could pull a boar, but they're heavy. So they could snap the line.
What do? We just wait here until they come?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We don't want to hunt a boar.
We could climb trees.
We could climb trees.
They can't climb.
True.
And we could try to hit them from above.
Yeah. Anyway, can we, as many people who can as can climb trees.
Saint's going to climb a tree. Absolutely. He's got ranged weapons.
Climb trees? Can you give me a boost? Brion grabs Regina and like tries to put her up in a tree, and you all just start climbing trees.
Yeah.
All right. So you climb trees and you wait, and within about 8 minutes, seven fucking boars roll into your camp, and they start sniffing around, and they start going into your packs, and they start eating your rations.
Get the fuck out of there.
And they just
sleep.
Okay, give me a casting check for sleep.
Natural 9 plus 3 is 12.
That's
it. Six sleep.
So you like you wait until they all get like within a space where you can get all of them.
The little branches of the tree surrounding me wither.
The
leaves,
curl.
The
branch dries and cracks.
Yeah, and you fall to your death.
To your death.
Hold on. The leaves go. You know, they go as if it's mid autumn. They go bright red and then they lose their color and just shrivel up.
I love that as you tap into your war and then everything drains around you and you cast it in a way where you're like, I got all of them, and they fucking keep moving.
Oh.
High-level boars
start fucking tossing your camp about. They're eating the rations, and then one of them spies, like, we'll say Regina in a tree, and goes over the tree and, like, wham! Bangs its head into the tree, and the tree shakes a little bit, and it just starts, like, scraping its tusks on the edge of the tree, marking it with its glands, sharpening its tusks. Wham! Again! And Regina's like, what?
Saint is just...
What do we do?
The good news is we only had two rations. So have fun, boars. Like, we didn't have that much.
They just like start. They toss the camp all up. They bang at the tree a little bit.
Should we try to take one down? Like magic
missile?
I think Saint would shoot the one hitting the tree. Yeah.
If they run, they run. And if we get one, then...
Okay.
Yeah, I have no ranged options.
That's right. Just
I could throw a dagger once.
I'd like to shoot while I'm...
Oh, no, I gave my dagger. Oh, no, I got it back after the sickles. Right.
I'd like to shoot while being quiet. That's why Saint didn't want to talk yet, so the boar doesn't notice him, but he would like to...
All right, roll for initiative. Let's see what happens here.
Wow, okay. Interesting.
Natural 20. Again.
Oh,
there you go.
All right, I won't waste my time. This is the best possible situation.
Best possible scenario.
Nice. Best time to roll a natural one.
Oh, great. Oh, wow.
Okay, all right, so I started thinking about what I was going to do, but now all of you get a chance to act. And my heroes will act when I want them to. So,
your boars are heroes?
My NPCs.
I think you meant the boars. Yeah.
Okay. Guys just have sickles and Regina's useless.
Yeah,
just hang out.
Throw some cinnamon at them.
Worst case scenario, we get them mad, they run away.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't climb a tree.
They pour out the rest of their nutmeg.
Yeah, if you all take fire on one of them, you might be able to get a boar.
Yeah. Ooh. Good eating.
I'm going to fire my loaded crossbow at the nearest boar. Natural 18.
That's a hit.
Let's go.
This is actually
1 point of damage.
Amazing. Oof. Okay. All right. So, wham! You hit, and they start. They notice something's off. What do you do?
I would like to do my backstab. They haven't seen me yet in another tree. I'll shoot at the same boar that Pharaoh shot at, and that's going to be 17 to hit.
That's a hit.
Okay. So then double. 5
damage. Okay. Boom sauce.
All magic missile the same.
That's a
classic hunter's technique.
Yeah. Going to the woods.
I mean, it keeps the meat nice.
It does.
Seals the juices.
I fail.
Oh, fail.
A 2 and an 8, right? No, 8. 8 is a success.
So it's
an
11.
Oh, 8's a success. Okay.
So magic missile the same boar, and that is going to be 4 points of damage.
Nice.
Okay, it is still up for Warwick. It's one boar.
Yeah, he sees it, knocks it over. Maybe it's disoriented by the force and blasts, and he's just like, I've got one and only one chance. And he pulls out a dagger from his sheath at his belt, and he just eyes it up. Let's see. Oh, man. This is awesome. Come on. I've never thrown a dagger. Dude, 18.
Oh, 18 hits.
I'm going to spend a cap to make it a crit.
Oh, good idea. Really? For double damage?
Double damage.
Idea. Wow.
See if we can get anything out of that. I'd love to
should have done that.
I should have done it too.
I'd love to save it for a...
I get so excited just making this spell check.
Oh, wait. Oh, do I double the damage dice? I don't double the number.
Yeah, yes.
Right. Okay, come on. 3 points of damage. Bad roll.
Okay. All right, well, here's what happens. The boars start scattering, and they start running off in all directions, but this one is badly injured, so it's just kind of like limping away. Brionne looks like, should we go after it? The guy's like, should we go?
Stay in the tray.
All right, so it goes to you. Can you get this boar?
I'm going to load with my move action and fire again.
Natural 15.
Nice.
And they have one hit point left.
Oh, come on.
All right, so they all scatter and run off, but this last one is so beat up. Took 14 points of damage.
Huge.
Wow. Good eating tonight.
Huge.
You got food.
Yeah.
You got
food.
That's good eating.
Yeah, this is going to be a pretty decent amount of rations. I'll need a week to think about it.
Okay.
We'll see you next week.
And on a victorious boar kill.
Wow.
Seven
boars.
Who
knew a boar hunt would be so good?
I know.
Who said to get up in the tree? Is that you? That was genius.
Yeah.
God,
we would have been
thought of that.
Dead.
Bottle cap.
Regency era. You might know it as the time when Bridgerton takes place, or the time when Jane Austen wrote her books. But the Regency era was also an explosive time of social change, sex scandals, and maybe the worst king in British history. And on the Vulgar History Podcast, we're going to be looking at the balls, the gowns, and all the scandal of the Regency era. Vulgar History is a women's history podcast, and our Regency era series will be focusing on the most rebellious women of this time. That includes Jane Austen herself, who is maybe more radical than you might have thought. We'll also be talking about queer icons like Anne Lister, scientists like Mary Anning and Ada Lovelace, as well as other scandalous actresses, royal mistresses, rebellious princesses, and other lesser-known figures who made history happen in England in the Regency era. Listen to Vulgar History wherever you get podcasts.
Goodbye, Kyle!
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlotta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Malouf in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.